Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of PGA Grinders Live After Dark. We are here for the Shell Houston Open, the week before the Masters. Always a fun little tune-up for the guys that decide to partake in an event the week before the Masters. And we've got a pretty good field here this week. I believe 29 players are in this week's field that are qualified for the Masters. So pretty good field. Especially all things considered, the week before a major, you generally don't see a field like this. John Deere Classic is usually played the week before the British Open, and there's nowhere near this type of field strength there. Of course, with this major being contested in Georgia and the tournament the week before being contested in Texas, it's not quite as far to travel, and you'll see some guys kind of use this as a tune-up. As such, they kind of make the course a little bit of a tune-up for Augusta as well. Bringing in my co-host tonight, we'll start with Gib Pollard this evening. Match play last week. I saw you rooting very hard for DA points on Sunday. I was kind of surprised by that. Did you have a sweat going there, Gib, or you just like DA points?
I had zero ownership in DA points, but I just don't want Bryson to win a PGA event. I'm sorry. I just don't like him. Like him. He's demeanor. So I was actually rooting against Bryson, and if DA, you know, doesn't drop a stroke, then he Bryson doesn't get in the playoff. So yeah, I just wanted DA to win so Bryson have any opportunity to win.
Aren't you just an old curmudgeon there?
Yes, I'm spiteful sometimes.
Gib is the old golf guard, does not like the guy who wants to line up his putt weird and just try to do the science approach and all these things. But, okay, well, I figured maybe you had a better reason to root for DA points than just not wanting Bryson to win. But alas, you still have a chance. You still have a chance to redeem yourself if you want to throw another reason out there.
Oh, no.
You double down.
There was just zero class in that tweet.
Well, the top 10 towards the end of that tournament really looked like – we mentioned it was kind of like a web.com type field last week, and that's really what the leaderboard looked like come Sunday. You had a lot of the top-tier guys, Graham DeLatte, Graham McDowell, others, Ian Poulter, just some top-tier names missed the cut last week, and it wasn't really a strong field to begin with. So you left some salary on the table last week. It probably worked wonders for you. Let's pivot on over to Mr. Brian Devonshire. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Started snowing again in town, which I actually don't mind. We need it for the snowpack. It's been just so warm for a few weeks, but I paid no attention to golf this weekend. I didn't have any good lineups working, and I had a ton of exposure to Kentucky versus UNC. And I love playing like the March Madness brackets. They're so much like DFS, and if you can find these spots where people are going to be heavy on, one of those to me was UNC. So if Kentucky wins, I'm guaranteed like a minimum of 9,000 with like 20K upside. But instead, now I need like Gonzaga over Oregon to win, and my equity's down to like 4,500. So
Kentucky covered the spread, though.
There's no spread in brackets, though.
I know.
That would be interesting if there was, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be. Well, that'd be tough. Then what happens with? I guess what happens with the team that moves on, that wins but doesn't cover? I don't know.
Good point. It would have to be like a daily thing.
Yeah.
I pulled a Devo thing, and since I live in Oregon, I faded Oregon. And since I figured majority of the people in my pool would be picking Oregon, and that's bite me in the ass.
Did they though?
No, actually only one person had Oregon win the whole thing. Most had Kansas beating them.
Sometimes you just overthink it.
Yeah, I had Creighton beating Oregon a round earlier, and Creighton didn't get out of the first round, so yeah, that didn't work for me.
Yeah, my brackets went up in flames pretty early as well. All right, well, last week we had the match play. We had the Puerto Rico Open. Obviously, a lot of us were focusing on the Puerto Rico Open. Only DFS would make us focus on the Puerto Rico Open more so than the match play to get a chance to watch some of those weekend matches. But Dustin Johnson continuing his fine form. Did not get a response, but I sent a tweet out to a few people that that called the player of the year to Justin Thomas 2 weeks into the season and saying that it was locked down and Justin Thomas was the player of the year. I'm betting a few people are willing to take that back after just two short months with the way Dustin Johnson has been playing lately, with the improvements to his short game. Just pretty tough to beat when he's fully on his game there. And he was originally committed but has since pulled out of this week's tournament. He's not in the player pool on DraftKings. He is in the player pool on FanDuel, but he's got that big out designation next to him. So obviously don't play Dustin Johnson this week. But the overall field stronger for sure than we saw a week ago. And Debo, what do you make of the course this week, the weather, anything you want to give us as far as intro here?
Well, the course is very intentionally modeled after Augusta, and that's why we see 29 of these guys here this week. You know, to use this as a tune-up, and it's still $1 million on the line, which is always fun to play for. But they set it up like their mowing patterns are the same. The green speeds are the same. They're going to be 13 on the stimp this week. There's chipping areas, and the rough is cut short. It's only at 1.25 inches, which is significantly shorter than we saw in these last few courses through Florida. So it's going to be basically the same stats what we're looking at next week. I'm definitely favoring the Bombers. The fairways are hard to hit, but with the rough being that short, they're still going to be able to make good approach shots. So give me the driving distance, give me strokes gained tee to green, approach. I'm also looking at par 4 and par 5 birdie or better.
Yeah, distance certainly tends to be an advantage on this course. The rough, not very thick, as you mentioned. So it's a course where Bombers can maybe spray it a little bit and still be successful, and that helps them for sure. We've seen some Bombers have some good results here in the past, and we'll get to some of the guys with some good course history here. Gib, what do you make of the Golf Club of Houston?
Well, the greens here are on the larger side of average, so whenever there's bigger greens, there's always going to be more greens than regulation. That brings putting slightly into play. If there's a bomber that is a solid putter, then I'm very intrigued. You know, if there's a bomber that's not, then I'm slightly hesitant, because even a bunter can get on the green in regulation, and if he's putting pretty good, then, you know, he has a chance, because over the years, you know, there's been a fair few solid putters. They haven't actually won, but they've placed pretty solidly, so putters can actually do well in this course.
Gib, what do you use to measure putting? Is it strokes gained putting or something else? Because, like, I know there's just so much variance in putting, I'm not sure how to accurately quantify it.
Mostly strokes gained putting. But, you know, if a player's been hot with the putter in recent weeks, I'll take notice of that. You know, they could have the mechanics reading it pretty well, rolling it pretty well. You know, if they're cold with the putter, then I'll probably sort of look away. But, you know, generally, I just take strokes gained putting.
Are you just using, like, last season, or are you using several seasons?
I only use this season. I don't believe in what they did 2 years ago really matters. Because, you know, golfers have swing changes. They mix it up. Every year, you hear about... Take Phil, for instance. Every year, we hear about how he's tweaked his golf swing, at least by the announcer's way of doing things or saying things. So it's hard to gauge whether or not 2 years ago that was really relevant, because all for all we know, they could be using a different putter. They could be using a different claw grip or whatever conventional grip. Putting 2 years ago had long putters, so anyone who had a long putter. So, you know, I don't try and go back many years, multiple years worth of data to sort of establish if a guy is putting good or not. I will more likely just choose how they're doing recently, because you're only good as your last round sometimes.
Yeah, putting, that's the tough thing. It's just so difficult to quantify, you know, or it's, I shouldn't say quantify, but it's just not, it doesn't seem to be as predictive as some of the other stats that are out there. So I've seen varying reports of weather. If you use we've talked about this before on the air. There are two sites that we kind of use to gauge wind. If you use weather.gov right now, you're not going to see a whole lot of difference in terms of the tee times on Thursday and Friday. If you use Windfinder, you will see some significant differences in gusts. So it's pretty tough to tell at this point. I know a few people have tweeted out that they think there is an edge to the Thursday PM, Friday AM wave. I think it's a little bit too early to declare that clear cut. But obviously, especially in Texas, where the wind sometimes becomes an issue, it is something you want to monitor. So it looks like as of this point, if a T wave gets the edge, it's going to be the late Thursday wave. Devo, have you seen anything on this, or do you have an opinion on the weather already?
Well, I haven't looked at Windfinder yet. Thanks for mentioning
that. Yeah, Josh Culp tweeted something out earlier, and it made me look at it because he said he thinks there's an edge to the Thursday PM wave. And the gusts are, you know, eight or so miles an hour different to that wave's advantage. Again, I don't know if it'll be a huge difference, but down in Texas, this was that – Gibb, was it the Valero a couple years ago that had the 4 or 5 stroke difference?
Yeah, that was the Valero.
So one of the Texas events. It can get pretty windy down there, but again, I think it's too early to draw any conclusions, but I think that that's where some people are leaning anyways at this point.
Yeah, I see it. If that forecast is accurate, there's definitely an edge to be had. What is for certain is that we're going to have to pay attention to it. Like, the storm is right over me right now, and it has been for a day or two, and it's on its way to Texas. There's a lot of moisture in it. And the course is going to get really, really wet on Wednesday. The rain is supposed to taper off into Thursday. I think that just creates kind of a slight edge to the bombers. If there's going to be a wind discrepancy, then also there's that edge too. It's interesting to think about, like, there's another storm just like this that's supposed to show up on Sunday, and it's going to be there all day. A lot of rain, a lot of thunder, some wind. Do you think that there's any chance that they push this to Monday, therefore increasing the chances of withdrawal from one of the players in the Masters?
That's a really, really good point.
I don't know. Every time I think that, you know, there's been, I think, once or twice where something's gone to a Monday right before a major. It's usually, I think, before the U.S. Open, and they play the St. Jude one, and there's a couple of U.S. Open players in there. And every time that I've thought that, yeah, one of them did go to a Monday, and I thought, oh yeah, anyone who's in the U.S. Open for that one's going to withdraw for sure, just to get wherever it was. I think it was Pinehurst at the time. And they didn't. They stuck it out. So
Texas to Georgia is a pretty quick hop on a private jet.
Yeah. It's not like, yeah, these guys can't. And, you know, what you find most of the time is they'll have a chartered jet for these players anyway. You know, they'll just hire a jet. Mm. And anyone who wants to go to Augusta on a Monday, boom, there you go. All of you get on the same flight, and we'll get you there.
But what if you're – let's just play worst case scenario here and say they can't play golf on Sunday. It's too early, obviously, to predict this for sure. But playing devil's advocate, worst case scenario, let's say they can't play golf on Sunday and they push the whole final round to Monday and Phil Mickelson's in 56th place. Like, if Phil Mickelson is leading, well, obviously, he's probably going to stick it out. But if Phil Mickelson's in 56th place, is he going to stick around to play that round on Monday?
Yeah.
If he's in 56, are you winning the GPP?
Possibly. I mean, if you got the right other combinations, if he, you know, crawls up to 30th or something, you can win a GPP with one guy down there. Maybe.
When you have the 0.01% of Bob Estes and he wins, then, yeah, if you have Phil Mickelson. I'm just joking.
I'm just saying, not necessarily Phil or if any of these guys that are also in the Masters, if they're in the 40s, you know, place-wise, you know, they're 12 strokes back. They're not going to win. Do they stick it out or don't they stick it out?
Before Marianne, the U.S. Open, Phil flew to San Diego and then overnighted it right back, basically right before the tournament started, and he played lights out. So Phil, I don't think Phil has any worries in actually getting there just a fraction late. Phil's like depends on... If they've played the Masters a lot, then I don't, and they're sort of doing pretty well. I don't see them pulling out, but maybe
okay. Well, let's say it's John Rahm then.
I don't really see. I mean, if they pull out because of that, they're going to catch some flack for that. And I don't think John Rahm really wants that to happen, since he's on such a hot streak and, you know, he's the darling in all the media. So, you know, if you think it's going to happen, then you have to discount all 29 players. And, you know, then you're leaving yourself open to just a Puerto Rican Open.
Yeah, you're taking a lot of the good players out of play for sure. It's way too early to tell. But
I just pulled up the forecast for Augusta, and the rain that is in Texas on Sunday is going to be in Georgia on Monday. So if they can't play golf on Sunday, that's when they're going to take the private jet over to Augusta, play a practice round, then they'll come back, pick up their paycheck on Monday because it's going to be raining in Augusta.
Fair enough. Fair point.
Get it over there. They could be grounded. There's a lot of weird what ifs in that. I'm just going to pick the players, and you know, if I get burnt, then it wasn't meant to be this week for me.
I thought our job was to predict the future.
I knew you were going to say that.
Of course, I just happened to see a tweet that says today is 3/28, which was several references to the Falcons being ahead 28-3 in the Super Bowl.
That's my sister's birthday. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, there you go. Hopefully you wish her a happy birthday.
Hopefully I remember by the end of
the show. We'll remind you when we're signing off for the night. All right, let's get into these golfers for this week. Again, a lot of these guys at the top have qualified for the Masters. You've got Jordan Spieth at 12K, the aforementioned John Rahm at 10.7K, Henrik Stenson, Ricky Fowler, your other 10K plus golfers. And Gib, you said you're just going to take the best golfers, so who's the best golfer?
Out of the 10K bunch,
sure.
I feel like not playing much of these guys. I like the way my lineups have been, the little bit of roster construction that I've been doing so far. I sort of like how they feel when I'm sort of starting at Justin Rose, not anywhere above. I'm hesitant about Henrik Stenson, but, you know, that could mean he could be a great GPP player because I have a feeling everyone's going to be hesitant about him. Spieth, I think, is going to be the darling, and maybe potentially Fowler as well. So, and of course, John Rahm, who's been lights out. So I don't know where to go with the 10K guys, so I could end up being just fading them all together and hoping that, you know, they withdraw because they're afraid that they're going to miss their tee time and stuff.
I don't think Spieth is going to be super popular this week just because he's 12K. He's 1,300 more than these other guys. I think he'll obviously carry some ownership, but I don't think you're going to see 30% or anything on Jordan Spieth this week.
Yeah. Well, I guess Rahm would be the favorite. I had to switch it over to DraftKings pricing for a second. I was stuck on Fantasy Draft for a second. So, yeah. Rahm, I think, is going to be Rahm should be the most popular. It's hard to gauge about Ricky because sometimes he's high owned and sometimes he's not as much as we think. So all I know is probably Stenson's going to be the lowest owned out of the four above 10K.
And somebody in the golf chat room here on the, by the way, if you haven't checked out the new chat rooms, we have new chat rooms on the Grinders Live page that are specific by sport. So there's a general chat and then there's different chats. There's also a golf chat. So check that out. You can get to golf comments. If you've got questions on specific players, when we start to get into those price ranges, you can throw them out there. I've got this chat open here throughout the show. So check out that golf chat on the side. You can switch from general to any of those other sports. So in the golf chat right now, and completely lost my train of thought as to what I was going to say. But in terms of the 10K guys, are you worried at all about Rahm Gibb being a little bit tired from all the rounds that he played last week in the match play and then his first Masters coming up next week?
I to be honest with you, I faded the whole match play event last week.
He made the finals.
I know he made the finals, but how was the rest of his rounds? Did he dominate anyone to where it was, you know,
dominated like all of them?
Six up through a lot of
them? Like 5-4 and like 6-7.
He wasn't playing impressive full rounds. So, I mean, if he had what, 2 or 3, 5 ups, 6 ups, then he basically only played 4 rounds of golf. So I don't really think he's going to be that tired. But I'm not probably going to roster him anyway. I'm going to play the fade game because, like I said, a lot of the players who I sort of like start below 10K. So if everyone's going to be on Rahm, then I'm going to be happy and I'm going to pray to the golfing gods, the DFS golfing gods, that Rahm gets tired and misses the cut.
Yeah, I just think it, so. Let's see, he won 3-2 over Kevin Chappell, and then so that was 16 holes. 2-1 over Lowry, so that was 17 holes. 6-4 over Garcia, so that was 14 holes. Went the full distance against Dustin, but it's 7-5 over Kjeldsen, so that was in 6-4 over Howell. So yeah, he did have three pretty easy victories in there. I guess maybe not so much as being tired as it is. Maybe he's looking forward to his first Masters. He sent out tweets about looking forward facing Dustin Johnson in the Masters. And, you wonder about this possibly being kind of a trap spot for him. I'm just throwing it out there.
I think it's valid. But I wasn't going to be on him anyway.
All right, Devo, what are your thoughts on these top guys?
I like Rahm a lot also, but I think that the cat is finally out of the bag and he's finally priced where he's supposed to be. So if he's going to be the chalk, then I'm going to be off him for the first time in a while.
Somebody in the chat has 5-1 odds that you've got Stenson as your favorite guy because of ownership.
Well, and it is going to come down to ownership because, you know, like Monday, Tuesday is my research, just kind of doing my own projections. And then as I move into the show and tomorrow, I'm really just trying to figure out where ownership's going to go. And I do like Stenson a lot. And if you're telling me he's going to be the lowest owned of this entire group, then he's definitely my favorite play above 10K.
Yeah, I think just with the concerns over sometimes he's had a history of withdrawing, he's had the knee issues. It's just, I think that will make some people kind of skittish. His recent form a little bit shaky as well. So that pretty confident that between those four guys, among those four guys, Stenson will probably carry the lowest ownership of the group.
If you can tell me that Spieth will be lower owned, then I might be swayed over to him. But, you know, Ricky was a guy that I loved for the last year when he was, you know, just due to be on this run that he's on. Now that he's on the run, everyone's like, Ricky's the goodest, but now he's popular and more expensive. So, you know, it's pretty funny that, you know, 3 months ago, Stenson was like the Rahm. And, like, now Stenson is the Ricky, and Ricky is the Rahm, and Rahm is the Stenson. Like, it's bananas to me.
And 6 months ago, Day was the man, and now it's Dustin.
Yeah.
Scott was the man before that. Then it was Rory. Then it was Spieth.
Yeah.
Day, now it was Dustin. There was Justin Thomas in between there for a couple of weeks. I mean, it's ups and downs. That's why I sort of like recent form to go by is because – it's peaks and valleys. Let's not forget, Stenson fell off the map like, what, 5-6 years ago? He was a top 10 player in the world, and then I think he got all the way down to like 250, 300 in the world. Wow. He just fell completely off the map, and then he climbed his way back into it. So Kuchar did the same thing too. So golfers can fall into that trap. I'm still waiting for Bo Van Pelt to come back. Not really.
I still didn't find out what he's doing these days. I couldn't find out.
I honestly didn't look.
I mean, I'm not really convinced that Stenson's exactly in bad form. Like, he made a pretty bad decision to try to chip out of some water lurking with gators a few weeks ago, and that led to a missed cut by one stroke because he put up like a quintuple bogey on that or something. He still had that seventh after his withdrawal. Like, I think it's wrong for people to be off of Stenson. I kind of have a feeling like just based on how good his stats still look and his recent form before, you know, these little hookups was that, I don't know, I'm not so convinced that he's going to be the least popular, but if you guys are right, I'm very excited. But it's got to be either him or Spieth, right? Like Fowler and Rahm are going to be more popular no matter what.
I agree with that.
Just from a player's standpoint, I mean, fool me once, was it shame on you? Fool me twice, shame on me. Isn't that how it goes? I mean, people who played him at the WGC event got burnt, and then they played him, you know, the following week, he did pretty well, and then they go back to him and they burn him again, or he burns them again. it's only so many people, like, there's so many options around here. I have a feeling it's just going to be automatic that they're going to go away from him because they've, you know, people who've been on Stenson for those two tournaments aren't necessarily going to go back to him.
Yeah, recent memory kind of thing, and Spieth and Ram haven't disappointed anybody in a long time. All right,
let's head down.
Stenson it is, pay the man.
Let's head down to the next tier of golfers. We've also got four golfers in the 9Ks, Justin Rose, Adam Scott, JB Holmes, and Matt Kuchar. So, Gib, I'll let you take your pick of those four guys.
I you know, if Justin Rose is my 1A, Adam Scott's my 1B. I really like my teams the way they're looking when I pair those two together. With Adam Scott, he's doing a schedule change this year. He is consciously committing to all of the events before a major, and he's got Steve Williams on the bag so they can get their mojo together leading into each major. And I really like Adam Scott when he's got Stevie Williams on the bag.
Yeah, I mean, his schedule has been – and I'm not worried about, you know, if we're talking about potential withdrawal risk from these guys just because the Masters is next week, irrespective of the weather. I'm not that worried about him. I mean, he generally picks and chooses his schedule pretty carefully, doesn't play a ton of events. And when he commits to an event, it seems like it's really because he wants to play in it. And kind of what you mentioned there, if you are worried about some of these top guys, you know, maybe just focusing on the Masters, Scott is one of the guys that I'm not really worried about with that. Justin Rose took last week off. He didn't play in the match play to kind of rest up for these next few weeks. And JB Holmes will get the course history angle. He couldn't play last year here because of a shoulder injury. But he did win this event 2 years ago. Obviously, if you play the bomber angle, Holmes will get some attention there. Devo, anybody in here that out of these low 9K guys, or I guess all four 9K guys that you like?
Adam Scott is the one that sticks out to me the most, but I also think he might be the most popular. So if Stenson and Spieth are going to be low owned, this might be a week that I'm really going stars and scrubs.
You like anybody? We can go down in the 8Ks. Anybody in there tickles your fancy?
Mickelson, but I think he's going to be even more chalky than Scott. I bet a lot of lineups are going to start with one of these guys, and then Mickelson will be the next guy slotted in there.
With the preliminary projected ownership, Mickelson is at 30.6%.
Wow. Oh, you got to fade him at that price. If that's true, it's even a full fade.
Full fade or full all in?
No, full fade if he's going to be that popular.
Yeah, I think he'll be chalky. That number kind of surprises me, but the first iteration of ownership projections, Phil is the second highest guy behind Tony Finau and right there with Ricky Fowler. So, and I agree on Finau. I think we'll get to him, obviously, but I think he'll be the most popular guy in the field. So Phil at 30%, and then I didn't mean to cut you off there, but so if you're off of Phil, who's your pivot around him there?
There isn't. So I'm going to have a lot of Spieth Stenson lineups, I think. Or maybe just Spieth, just Stenson's, and then go into the below average price tags.
Gib, you got anybody here?
I don't mind Kuchar. He's a cut maker. And, you know, I Kuchar's another one. JB Holmes, he comes in at fourth in my model, but course history people are going to be all over JB. So, yeah, I like Phil. I do. I'm considering just, you know, potentially shoring up a spot in my roster by just slotting Phil in there and not worrying about the other five golfers going forward. I mean, his course history here is great. We know he loves to play events before majors. So it gets him into sort of the mood, especially when you go into Augusta. I think he really loves playing Shell. So, you know, he likes playing, he'll try different things out in preparation for the following week. And he's great at the Masters. So, you know, if this is replicating the Masters, then you have to think that, you know, the Shell is another one. So I don't mind Phil at all. He's going to be chalky, but I'll try and different my lineup somewhere else.
If you buy the preliminary weather reports that say to target the Thursday PM Friday AM wave. Mickelson and Rahm are both on the bad side of the draw. So that gives me some hope as a person who, like Devo, thinks it might be wise to fade Phil Mickelson this week. I'm kind of hoping that that wave does end up getting the short end of the stick there. And kind of with Devo, there's just not a lot of guys. I'm not super interested in Berger this week. Cantlay is really cheap on FanDuel. He's a guy, the shiny new toy for those of you that are not that familiar with him. He was extended absence because of injury. I believe he got in a car accident a few years ago. I don't remember all the particulars, but he came back at Pebble Beach, played okay there, and then I believe a second place finish at the Valspar a couple weeks ago, second or third. I don't have his player stuff in front of me, but anyway, he's all the way up to 8.6K on DraftKings. He's super cheap on FanDuel. If you want to get him at a low ownership on DraftKings, though, I think that's interesting. Gib, any interest in Russell Henley? Somebody in the chat had asked about Russell Henley, another guy, pretty good course history.
Pretty good course history. He's in the top 30 in all-around ranking, putting, ball striking, and DraftKings points per tournament. So he is, yeah, he's got a lot of check boxes next to his name. If you want to pivot off Phil Mickelson, then Russell Henley could be a potential low-owned. I don't know. Do you think he's going to be low-owned?
He's going to be chalky, I bet. 20%.
He's not going to be as chalky, though, as Phil.
No, he'll still be somewhat popular, primarily because there's just not a lot of guys in here. I mean, unless you want to take Cantlay in that range, really interested to see how many people take that on DraftKings with Cantlay at 8.6K.
I don't think I can Cantlay.
Devo, you got any interest at that price?
Yeah, I do. So nobody else is gonna. You know, his odds aren't that far off as the pricing thing goes. I need to dig into the kid's stats, but it's probably broken, obviously, because of no history and stuff. But I mean, it's not like Vegas has him at like 100-1. Like, he's severely mispriced. Like, he's actually rather reasonably priced. Vegas has Henley at 35 and Berger at 35. Lefty's the one that's broke at 22-1. No, but Hoffman's 50, Chill is 50, Glover's 70, Westwood's 75. So I think he's an excellent leverage play in a spot where people are going to be drawn to some chalky options. I don't mind Daniel Berger. I just don't like him as much as, the guys above or below. Like, I think I can spend my money better, but if you're telling me Berger is going to be unpopular, then I'm going to be interested in him too. But yeah, I think Cantlay should probably be an all-in spot on FanDuel, and I think it's a great GPP play on DraftKings.
Yeah, if you played the pricing on FanDuel last week with two guys that were severely discounted on FanDuel with Peter Uihlein, that worked out very well. Matt Jones did not work out so well, so one out of two last week with the cheap values on FanDuel. Other guys in the 8K, Charles Howell finally gets the price bump to 8.5K. The Charles Howell experiment of making him super cheap every week is over, at least for this week.
Yes, we.
For one week. He'll be back. Is he in the Masters?
No.
Okay. Well, he might be. Maybe he'll win this week and he'll get in.
And then he'll be like 6K.
He'll be 6K. Exactly. That's what I was getting at. That's where I was going with that. Charlie Hoffman at 8.4K. He'll get some interest from the course history people. 10 for 10. At this event with five top 25s for Charlie Hoffman, although at 8.4K, a little more than you might be used to paying for him. Same with Lucas Glover at 8.3K, but he's been having a tremendous season. So plenty of options here in the 8K range. You got Westwood, Watney, Gibbs' old buddy Hudson Swafford at 8K. You got any interest in those guys there, Gib?
Earlier in the show, when we talk about how Justin Thomas was crowned, the best player of the year. He locked it up, and then now Dustin's probably going to get that. I was going to make a joke when Hudson wins the Masters and the US Open, and then one more event, he will be the player of the year. No, I don't have much interest in him this week at all. I don't mind Charlie Hoffman. It seems like he's turning his game around just in the right time for the first major of the year.
Oh, and he loves golfing in Texas. If there's anything you can lock in.
Yeah, I can never pull the trigger on Lucas Glover. Everything sort of, it could be a week that I do. I much prefer Lucas Glover over Patrick Cantlay, because everyone above Patrick Cantlay, a large chunk of those below Patrick Cantlay have at least won a PGA Tour event. I do not get his pricing. He should be in the low 7K range, especially. Yeah, because he hasn't really done much on tour, and of course the current.
But based on his odds, though, like what Devo said, I think you got to have him higher than that.
I don't look at odds. I never do.
Hey, you said about 10 minutes ago, you're only as good as your last round.
True, I do. But, I mean, he hasn't proved anything on tour yet. I mean, if I'm looking at, say...
he got second place a couple weeks ago. That's not that far off of first.
And a 48th before that, and though, and his last event worldwide is 2014. I sort of like the 8K range players to be sort of those who recent form is good and they've proven themselves on the PGA Tour at least. The Valspar wasn't that big, that great of a field. This one's sort of somewhat average as well, but. I just don't see it. I don't see why Patrick Cantlay is that high. So, you know, I if
do you play? Would you play him on FanDuel then, where he's in like the bottom third of the field in pricing?
No, actually, he's not even on my radar at all. I've just skimmed right over the top of him.
Sorry, Ricky Fowler, you've been surpassed by Patrick Cantlay as Gibbs' least favorite golfer to take in DFS.
Ricky, I thought that was Keegan, mate.
Ricky shall be missed.
There's many players that I wouldn't pick before Ricky Fowler. Bryson being one of them.
True, that's true. I forgot about Bryson. We just talked about poor Bryson 20 minutes ago. I forgot about that. You just got the list there with the golfers. I don't know. It's really interesting discussion on Cantlay at that price. I mean, Valspar, that's a pretty tough golf course. Somebody mentioned that in the chat as well. It's just, for him to finish second there, that's no small shake in my opinion. I'm kind of neutral on him. I'll probably play him on FanDuel a little bit.
But that's a different course than this one.
True, it's very true, but it's a difficult course, which, in my opinion, maybe a little more credence than something that's a birdie fest. What's that?
I said, yeah, true.
Any other guys in the 8K range for you, Devo, or high 7Ks?
A little bit of interest in Lucas Glover. He's been real nice form lately. Stats match up for the course. And I think that he's going to be pretty unpopular. But I don't know. I just don't really like many of the guys in here. There's a lot of guys I like more in the 7K range, and I think I'm going to need to play those guys to afford my Spieths and my Spensons.
Fair enough. Who you got in the high 7Ks?
Patrick Reed and Jimmy Walker. They really stand out to me. Real nice price. I worry about Reed's ownership. I think Jimmy's going to be just fine. I like Jimmy's distance off the tee. I worry about Reed's. If I have to choose between the two, I'm going to go Jimmy Walker because of his lower ownership.
Yeah, Reed will definitely draw some ownership at that price point, as will Cabrera Bayo at 7.9K. He'll be pretty popular. He's actually more expensive on FanDuel than he is on DraftKings. Cabrera Bayo, that is. Reed might be too. Gabe, your thoughts on this high 7K range?
Just the two players you guys have mentioned, Cabrera Bello, I like him. He's a cut maker. He's been a cut maker worldwide for the last 12 months, or at least the last six. His putting is good. He's a solid player. He's a proven player, so I don't mind picking him there. Patrick Reed as well. Last year in the Texas Stroke Play events, the worst he did was 15th. And he hasn't missed a cut for a long time. So I like Patrick Reed at that price. He was 10K last year at this event. So his price has really dropped since then. So why not take him at a discount compared to last year?
Did you happen to catch any of his interview with Faraday?
No.
I didn't either. I was wondering if anybody's seen that happens to be watching. I did not see any of that, but you can drop some nuggets in chat if anything stood out to you, if you watched that, got a chance to watch that on I think that was last week sometime. Other guys in the mid 7Ks, there's Gibbs' favorite golfer, Bryson DeChambeau, in there at 7.6K. Probably not playing him there this week. But Devo, you said you got quite a few guys in the 7Ks that you like. Anybody other than Reed and Walker?
They're all cheaper. So nothing really in the top half at all.
You got anything else in the top half of the 7Ks there, Gibb?
Not yet. I've been, you know, yeah, not yet. I had Billy Horschel for a while, but then I sort of checked his recent form and it's missed cut. He either does really well or he's missing the cut. So that sort of scared me a little bit. So he's course history here sort of as a sort of barometer, missed cut and a second. So, you know, he's course history and his recent form are sort of mirroring each other at the moment. And that makes me hesitant a little bit. So other than that, I guess Jimmy Walker in Texas isn't that bad. And his ownership should be lower. So basically, yeah. Bellow and Reed are my two options in the high 7K range.
I think Bellow's going to be pretty popular.
Yeah, he'll be popular. The good news, this kind of surprised me, but Horschel has not qualified for the Masters. So you don't have to worry about him withdrawing if there's a delay or something like that, that they can't finish the tournament on Sunday. This doesn't hurt if you're thinking about targeting him this week. All right, let's go into the lower half of the 7Ks right now, where the highest projected ownership guy, or one of the highest projected ownership guys, is Johnny Vegas, who's been pretty popular lately. Didn't really strike me right off the bat when I looked at the field this week, but he's a guy that I've kind of been overlooking for quite some time, and he's been playing pretty well. So maybe I shouldn't be overlooking Mr. Vegas. But other guys in the low 7Ks for you, Debo?
Vegas is interesting. He's a guy that I've been overlooking for a while also, but not this week. He actually popped for me on my preliminary evaluation. I didn't get the sense that he's going to be popular, so that kind of disappoints me. I think that there's other options I'd rather be on if we think he's going to be up.
I don't know. I'm not totally sold on him being mega chalk. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe in the teens somewhere. But none of these guys outside of Tony Finau have massive ownership projections. Finau, as I mentioned, the highest guy in the field, just seems a little cheap there on DraftKings. Again, most guys are a little bit cheaper on FanDuel than they are on DraftKings based on the salary structure. FanDuel, you have to have 8 golfers. Finau's actually $800 more expensive on FanDuel than he is on DK. He's a bomber, obviously, if you want to play the bomber angle, 12th in distance. So Finau will be chalky in there, but other guys besides Mr. Vegas that you like in the low 7Ks?
I'm interested in Peter Uhling, this guy that we all discovered and fell in love with last week.
He was good last week, didn't let anybody down.
He was good last week. Does that mean he's going to be everyone's new favorite thing, or is there just another too many attractive options around that he'll probably get lost in the shuffle this week?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think people that played last week, hey, he was 10K last week. Now he's 7K. What a bargain.
I was just about to say that. very popular. He was far more popular than I was expecting last week. And he came, was it fifth?
Or? I believe it was fifth.
Yeah. So he didn't do anything to deter, and his prices dropped. So short memory. Hey, he did well for me last week, so I'm going to slot him in. So,
therefore, I think the answer is yes, Devo. So you're going to be left with Keegan Bradley.
All right. I'm cool with that.
the ownership ship has sailed on Keegan Bradley's kind of dip back to where we were used to seeing him in the, 7, 8, 9, 10% range.
That's finally, it's only March and he's got all year to win a tournament.
Or longer than a year. If you're Hudson Swafford, you get a few extra weeks.
Well, he was my call earlier in the year, you know. That's a good point, Hudson Swafford.
Gibb, anybody in the low 7K range for you?
Okay, so chat keeps pulling up players' names right before I'm about to say it. And I'm, yeah, Carl Stanley is a guy who, you know, he's piqued my interest for a while. I haven't pulled the trigger on him. It's sort of like Lucas Glover a little bit for me, and I'm finally going to pull the trigger this week. He comes up pretty well in the model that I have. He's top 30 in all-around ranking, driving accuracy, strokes gained, tee to green, ball striking, and DraftKings points per tournament. I think he's going to be sort of lower owned. In FanDuel, though, I've actually slotted him in the 3 and 4 slot because, you know, no one's going to have him there. So I think he's going to be fairly low owned. So that's one player. I think a lot of players, people might sort of, you mentioned Johnny Vegas being popular. There is Peter Uihlein around. There's JJ Spawn. Those who play European Tour golf, they might migrate a little bit to Chris Wood. He's a bomber from the European Tour. So, and ownership could go there. I feel like some of the ownerships could get split. Luke List is another player which DFS loves as well. So I don't think Johnny Vegas is going to be as popular as we might think, but I like him as a player as well. So I was all over Johnny Vegas coming into this. So he's actually resides in Houston as well. So there's another positive for you right there.
Yeah, and if you need to win a GPP, you can just get you a hole-in-one on Sunday and knock others down. That'd be ideal as well. He tends to do that. No hard feelings here. No, not bitter about that or anything. But those are most of the guys in the low 7Ks. You got anybody else there, Debo?
I do like Tony Finau, but if he's going to be 30% or so, then I got to fade him. I do like Duffner. I think he's going to be kind of popular too, though. So you're right. I'm just left with Keegan Bradley because I like them all the same from a projection standpoint, and Keegan's going to be significantly lower owned.
Everything on earth comes back to Keegan Bradley, and then everyone's at peace.
He's like a boomerang.
Feel good like getting my Keegan back and like everybody's off him again. It's perfect.
Yes, back it's back to being your puppy again.
Just a heads up though, if you are looking to roster David Hearn, he has withdrawn. He's had some pretty decent finishes the last three weeks.
Wow, did that just come out or?
It came out earlier today. I like FanDuel. It has DJ out for rest, and it has David Hearn personal. Going one step above right there. So I guess it's nice to know if they're injured or...
Well, it is. Yeah, his wife's having a baby.
Yeah.
So there you go, personal. Good for him. He did all right last week. He didn't do much on Sunday, but David Hearn did all right for himself. All right. Under 7K golfers, not a ton left in the field to talk about, but Gib, what do you got for sleepers this week?
Well, I didn't go all the way down in the 7Ks.
Go ahead, sorry.
You guys mentioned Duffner and Finau, so I was going to mention I like them as well. Stuart Sink is another player who I like. You know, he's top 30 in strokes gained tee to green, but his last four finishes, 28th, 27th, 27th, 28th. It was a 55 and then a 20th. So he's been consistent throughout this 2017 year. And so he's going to be fairly low owned. And his course history isn't that bad here as well. So I like Stuart Sink a little bit. That's one that I only just noticed like 2 or 3 hours ago. So I didn't actually put in my article. But had I seen that, I probably would have put him in there. Cameron Smith at 7K. I sort of like. I've been on the Cameron Smith train, and so I like Cameron Smith at 7K as well.
Any interest in the defending champion of the event?
No.
You were able to recall his name so easily last week that I figured maybe he'd be on your radar.
I can recall Troy Merritt pretty easy too. But I'm not going to pick him.
Hey, Troy Merritt signed my son's hat at the John Deere Classic last year, so he's got gets a few bonus points for that. Still not playing him, but Jim Herman, the guy who won this event last year, 7.4K. If you are listening to the show and wondering who the heck I'm talking about, all right, under 7K players for you, Debo.
There's 3.5 of them that really stick out to me, and they're all priced at 6.7K. The guys who hit it a long way and they've been in pretty nice form lately. Some have course history, some have none at all. They're Ollie Schneiderjans, Bernd Wiesberger, and JT Poston. I assume Ollie would be the most popular of the three, but I don't think he's going to be too popular. I'm going to be using all three of these guys. The other one that I'm kind of interested in, want to dig into a little bit more, is Martin Flores.
I played him last week in Puerto Rico. He was two shots under the cut line with four holes to go, and he made three birdies in a row, and then he ended up finishing 10th. He played very well in his last 39 holes.
So he was the opposite of G-Mac.
He was the opposite of G-Mac, who bogeyed his last three holes to miss the cut by one. And let me tell you this. I had a team on FanDuel last week that was leading the $25 GPP by like 50 points on Friday. It was so far ahead of everyone else. With my rounds one and two guys, I had Bryson in there. I had Trey Molinax in there. He was leading for a while. And then my rounds three and four guys, I had Graham McDowell, who bogeyed the last three holes to miss the cut. And I had Ian Poulter, who bogeyed two of the last three holes to miss the cut. And so all of a sudden, my FanDuel team that's glorious has two round three and four players that missed the cut. I don't even think it ended up cashing because, you know, you got two of four playing on the weekend. It's just not a good thing. So for the entirety of Saturday and Sunday, I sat there and watched my winnings on FanDuel dwindle from 30 grand to a loss for the week. It was not the most pleasant of circumstances, thanks to those bogeys at the end by McDowell and Poulter. But that's what you get. You got to get guys that make the cut there and get to the weekend on FanDuel so they can put up some points for you. But yeah, that was unpleasant.
Getting the position points. I mean, that's almost just as critical sometimes. Yeah. I've been lucky the last 2 weeks to get 8 out of 8.
Oh, wow. That's tough. It's not easy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just waiting for a 0 for 8 coming up at some point. Can't be that lucky all the time. So, but
I had like 30 lineups over there last week, and I didn't have a single one that had four guys playing on the weekend. It was ugly, but a lot of the top end guys missed the cut last week.
It's because you need to go more Boo Weekly.
That's right. You talked about Boo Weekly last week. The Tour Junkies, who do a show with David from the Tour Junkies on the SiriusXM, he talked about Boo Weekly, and I still didn't play Boo Weekly, and Boo Weekly played well, but
not on Sunday.
Not on Sunday, but still did all right. He did better than Graham McDowell.
Yes, he did.
Because he was at least playing on Sunday. So Masters this next week, of course, huge GPPs on DraftKings. Millionaire Maker is back next week for the Masters. FanDuel has not, at least the last time I checked, has not released anything yet. But they'll be releasing their GPPs, I'm sure. The pricing is already out on DraftKings for the Masters. And Fantasy Draft. If you're putting lineups in, I don't know about Fantasy Draft, but DraftKings will add the players who have qualified since they released the pricing. Mark Leishman is one of them, I know. Mm-hmm. So there'll be some guys added to the field. The winner of this week's tournament, if they're not in, they get added to the field. And all that will be done, I think, on Monday. Yeah, on Monday, April 3rd. So if you've made early lineups on DraftKings for the Masters, just make sure, you know, if you want to play some of these guys that are going to get added in, make sure you go through and check the full player pool. So the pricing is already out for next week. Obviously, we'll have a show next Tuesday night for the Masters that'll break that down. A smaller field for the Masters, different cut rules than you see with some of the other tournaments. Little nuances there at Augusta that make that tournament just a little bit different from the others. And because the field has some former champions that get the exemption to play whenever they want. You don't want to play those guys. But outside of that, you've got a pretty loaded field with guys like Webb Simpson at 7K and Kevin Na at 7,100 and all these guys that are normally top-end golfers in the field that you're going to see a little bit cheaper next week for the Masters. So it will be a fun show next Tuesday. Be sure to check that out as you get ready to set your lineups, especially for that Millionaire Maker with a huge top-heavy prize pool. You're really going to want to take a look at ownership next week. We'll certainly give our thoughts as usual on that, heading up to one of the best fantasy golf weeks of the year. So any last thoughts, Gib?
Just by my start, I'd just like to wish Devo's sister a happy birthday.
Any last thoughts, Devo?
Cantlay is basically free on FanDuel, as is Jim Herman, Jason Cockrack, and yeah, those are some really cheap plays.
Cockrack really cheap on FanDuel again this week. So we will see you next Tuesday for the Masters, everybody. Thanks for watching. Take care until next week.